Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. Hey, what's up? Hi, everyone. Hi. I hope everyone's ending 2017 is going well and that you are looking forward to a prosperous and a very productive 2018, because I know I am. All right, I got another quick little show for you. And once again, when things hit me about how we can decode what's going on around us, it struck me that, you know, how we use the same words and how we are won over with words and how people ingratiate themselves to you by using words that throws you off from their real agenda. You know, words like brother and words like sister and words like king and words like queen and words like what's up, fam, what's up, family, and stuff like that. And we hear a lot of public speakers using these terms, and the purpose of using these terms is to ingratiate the listeners to the speaker, to give you a feeling of togetherness and oneness and that we're one and we're about the same agenda and purpose. But this is really it's really a trick. It's really a tool that master speakers use to, you know, make the people that they're talking to, the people that's listening to them, feel a closeness to them that really does not exist. So here at the Nine Mind Sacred Sisterhood, we need to be aware that words are used to mislead. Words are used to deceive, and you need to know all the tricks. You need to know all the traps. You need to know all the subtleties that go along with the use of words to get you to believe something that may not be true, to get you to think someone is your friend who really is not, to get you to accept an agenda as if it is in your interest when it really is not. So I'm doing this show because we need to be aware of this, okay? And everybody uses it. Trust me, this is not something that only a select few. The elite, the powerful, use these tricks all the time, and you need to know what these tricks are. And it's the art of winning people over. Think that Barack Hussein Obama, Barry Satora, he was trained in this, and this is why so many people liked him who were of color and who were black, and yet he did nothing for them. And he wasn't really trying to win over the LGBTQ community, but when he got in office, you could tell that putting them more in a position of power was his agenda. But he never stated his agenda. He fulfilled it. But who did he have to trick? He had to really trick the Judeo-Christian heterosexual population. Those were the ones he had to win over. So he had to do a lot of photo ops. He had to do a lot of public speaking to win over the group that he really was not for. He was not for the heterosexual community, but they had to prop him up. They had to pair him up with a black woman, Michelle Obama. They had to give him some kids, two daughters. You know, had to paint this picture of this picture-perfect black family, tried to make them look as Christian as possible, dressed them well, put a dog on in there, and, hey, they were sold. And now we're finding out that, you know, they tried to tell us that Barry was gay, that he was a bisexual. A couple of people was trying to tell us that Michelle was really Michael, was a tranny, but we wasn't hearing it. Why? Because the imagery, along with the speeches, along with the photo ops, and all of the magic that they created around this fictitious couple, it wooed us in. It drew us in, and we believed in them. We wanted to be in that White House, and we put out that will and that energy, and it happened. So we need to be aware that how they can orchestrate things like this to get the people to will something into existence, because once you will something into existence and the energy is put behind it, usually it will occur. So the name of the show is How to Decode the Brotherhood and Sisterhood Agenda. Greetings, Nine, my sacred sisters and loved ones. Peace, protection, prosperity be upon we all and those we love. Brotherhood and sisterhood are words that fraternities, sororities, lodges, secret and non-secret societies, and also mafia crime families and cabals use to generate a feeling of singularity, togetherness, purpose, and pride amongst their members, who usually are of the same social upbringing and economic class. They are formed out of necessity for many reasons that usually can be identified within their mission disclosures, okay? No brotherhood or sisterhood can exist, operate, and thrive without the mission agenda being revealed to its members. So with that being known, to decode the brotherhood and sisterhood agendas running ever so rampant in our world today, all of we need to research these organizations and their mission agendas, okay, their organizers and their members. So, yes, if you want to know about the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Affairs, the Black Lives Matter, Antifa, whatever the organizations, the AKAs, the, Sigma Gamma Rho, whatever, you have to go and research their founders, their mission statements, their purpose, why were they founded, because all of that information, you will be able to find it, so that when you come across the members, you should be fully aware of what these people are about. Same way with the Fraternal Order of Police, the same way with the Crips and the Bloods. If you run across a Crip or a Blood and you don't know how they were founded, you don't know who founded them, you don't know why they were founding, you don't know their pledges, you don't know their oaths, you don't know what they stand for, you will assume when you meet them that somehow that they are for you and everybody, when really they are only for their group. Their mission and purpose is only for them and their group. Now, they may interact with you for business purpose, economic purposes, but at the end of the day, they are for their group and the members of their group alone. So you have to keep that in mind when you are dealing with people today. You have to know what these people's agendas are, okay? Look past how well they dress. Look past how well they speak. Look past how cute or handsome they are, and you must get down to the bare knuckles of what they really stand for, who they work for, and what groups or organizations they are members of, because that's where you're going to really know who they are and what they're about. Okay, mission agenda, their organizers and their members. This is a must because as they speak in the plural, while in our presence, their mission is specifically for the benefit, elevation, and financial gain of their group or members only and not we all. So you got to remember that when these people are speaking, they are speaking on behalf of their group. They are speaking on behalf of their members. They are not speaking on behalf of you or I. It's just like if you are a member of a church. If your church is Baptist, then Baptists only speak on behalf of Baptists. They don't speak on behalf of Jehovah's Witnesses. If you are Pentecostal, Pentecostals, when you hear someone who says, well, I'm a Pentecostal, their doctrine, their belief system is geared to only Pentecostals, okay? So we have to remember that. The same way the churches and the various faiths are separated, these fraternities, these sororities, and these secret societies and these various groups, they are all separate in their own specific agendas. And for you to know what the agenda is, you must do research, and research some more. Researching these organizations and these secret societies and these fraternities and sororities, you must be willing to put in the research so that when you come across or encounter or are forced to interact with the members, you can interact with them in a very civilized and professional way because you understand their purpose agenda. It's not about being angry, hateful, or hating anyone. It's just about understanding people's agenda. And I do believe that we can have disconnected as far as not being all the members of the same organization, but we still can work together. But I'm just trying to tell people you must do your research and you must stay woke and just understand that when they are speaking, they have their own agenda that may not be to your benefit, but when they send someone to you, then they're going to send their best. And, of course, this person is going to be crafty enough and is going to be elegant enough to speak to you in a way where they have to convince you that what they want, you want the same thing, that there is going to be a mutual gain in it for everybody. And that's usually how business organizations work, because businesses don't do business with one another unless there is a mutual gain for everybody. You know, everybody must come out a winner. So that's just how the business world works. All right, let me continue. Elevation gain of their group of members only and not we all. Right. So the selling of the brotherhood and sisterhood agendas requires the members and especially the key speakers to be proficient in public speaking and sheeple consciousness. Okay, so their public speakers are usually psychological majors, political science majors, and they have to be proficient in sheeple consciousness, psychological programming. Now, the sheeple, what is a sheeple? Because somebody, you know, this is a made-up word, and the word sheeple is a combining of the words sheep and people to denote persons whose behavior and mentality have been likened to sheep. So that's where you get the sheeple from. You know, the same way the Jewish people call people the goyim, the goy. Okay, which means sheep, meaning you're dumb as a sheep. You can lead a sheep to the slaughter, and the sheep will follow you, and before it realizes that it went to its own death, it's too damn late. So that's being a sheep is not positive. I just want you to know that. People somehow think, especially Christians, really, really believe being a sheep is positive, and really it is not. Being a sheep is not positive, but you would be surprised how many people, well, I want to be on the side of the sheep, and I don't want to be over here with the goat. And I'm like, really, well, what's the difference between a goat and a sheep? I mean, they really not are that different, you know, when it comes down to the hoof family. So I wouldn't want to be a goat or a sheep. But somehow they feel like the sheep is more dumber and the goat is smarter. I don't know. Go figure it out. You know, try to be a wolf or a lion to me, because, you know, I don't see where the goat or the sheep is positive as far as archetypes of what people want to have as their animal totems. But I digress. Let me get back to what I've got written typed here. Sheep and people to denote persons whose behavior and mentality have been likened to sheep. These persons are your, okay, now here are the groups of people who are defined by the elite as the sheeple. The sheeple are the persons are your unlearned, your undereducated, your miseducated, the weak, and the simple, who are also referred to as idiots, or the mentally challenged. So your sheeple group are 1, the unlearned, 2, the undereducated, 3, the miseducated, 4, the weak, and 5, the simple. So you are talking about 5 different types of people who are in your sheeple class. Now, in every society or civilization, sheeple tend to be the majority, okay? In every society or civilization, the sheeple tend to be the majority, but are always controlled by the elite minority class who are 1, better educated, and 2, control the priestly offices. Now, y'all got to get this. What makes the elite the elite? One, they are better educated. Usually these are your intelligent people, whether they self-taught or they was trained in some type of private school or academy, but they are highly intelligent because they have a passion for learning. And the second is they usually control the priestly class, priestly offices. These will be your higher up religious figures, your higher up religious leaders. These people answer to the elite, or they are the among the elite themselves. Okay, so now you know the difference between the elite and the sheeple. Now, the next thing I say is there is no separation between church and state. People talk about separation. There's no such thing. This is another lie that's taught to the sheeple, that there is separation between church and state. So when you talk to the sheeple, the sheeple are usually very pro-religion and very anti-politics and state. Let me repeat that. Sheeple are taught to be very pro-religion and very anti-politics and state. And yet most sheeple are what? On state aid, welfare, Section 8, government housing, whatever, state aid. That most of the sheeple are on, but you start talking to them about politics, oh, I don't know nothing about that. I ain't even interested in nothing that. So they feel that they are anti-state while at the same time will stand in line for hours for food stamps, welfare, and any type of aid. But they're anti-state. See, that is the brainwashing of the sheeple. Okay, because they don't know that that very aid that they want to sign up for and stand in line for is going to be the very means of their permanent control. They will be controlled by them getting that aid. So what were some of the key words, some of the tag words, decoding words, doublespeak, finesse, game, ism, brotherhood, agenda, mission, purpose, code, targets. Now, every sorority, every organization, they have people who they target to sell their agenda to. So you got to know the difference between a member and a target. Sheeple, let me tell you something. If you are part of the sheeple class, you are part of the targeted class. You are targeted for deception. You are targeted for abuse. You are targeted for whatever reason. To part you from your coin, okay? You are the targeted. So you have the members, and then you have those who the members target. Understand which class you are in, okay? Okay, so you got targets, you got members, you got sheeple. Why do people formulate organizations and fraternities and sororities? The reason is for economics and survival. Usually the purpose behind any type of group or a gang or sorority or fraternity organization is for the purpose of survival and the purpose of economics, and the other is they want to have a tribal type of family connection based off allegiances that your natural family may not be intelligent enough to embrace. So that's why normally, even though your sisterhood or your brotherhood fraternity is becomes your tribe, the reason why y'all work together better than you would with your family is because you may come from a family that y'all have not codified a tribal or clan consciousness that everybody can get on board with. So when you join a fraternity or a sorority, then there's already a formulated code book or plan that everybody is willing to get on board with, and it's not based off skin color or skin tone. It's based off mission and agenda, the mission statement and the agenda and the purpose behind the organization. Most families, especially black families, your family has no mission, and that's why you guys can't get along. That's why you don't, you're not united. That's why you don't like each other, because you don't have a mission. Trust me, if you have a family and you have a mission, a purpose, then that is your reason for working together. That is your reason for getting along. That is your reason for staying together and united against everyone else. But because most black people, especially black females, you are not taught this. This is a higher law that is kept from you. And you are just told to breathe and have no mission. When these sorority women breathe, they breathe understanding a mission so that when they bring life and children into a world, their children are already a part of an elite tribe or clan. Why? Because they come here already knowing that that mission and that purpose is going to be instilled in them. The sheeple are only programmed with religion. Religion has no mission other than to control and keep you in a specific place. A religion has no purpose about building you up economically. Most religious people are poor as fuck. So you have to realize that being religious is not the highest of intelligence. Because, see, black people love to pride themselves being religious. Sorry. Religion was created for control, to be able to indoctrinate you so that you are easier to control. Now, being part of a clan or a tribe with a specific agenda and mission and purpose, now that's something different. And this is what's taught to those who are part of fraternities, but this really is supposed to be taught within the family structure. But since the elite destroyed the family structure and then they created the fraternities and sororities to rob families of their greatest asset, which is their children, their sons and your daughters. So when you have a son or a daughter, your son or daughter is going to eventually leave you and join a fraternity or sorority. That's how the state has set up. That's why you're basically having children to end up to be vetted by the state anyway. So that's why the states have all the power. It's because they have created a way to take your children from you and then get your children to join a sorority or a fraternity where now their allegiance will be to them and their mission, their agendas. If you want to put an end to that, then you're going to have to create families that have their own mission and have their own agenda, and then your children will be less likely to be vetted away from you to join a organization that you yourself do not co-sign or you yourself did not create. Because the Divine Nine fraternities and sororities were created and they were organized by plantation slave masters. These are facts. They were not created by black revolutionaries. But you notice that a lot of black men and women are part of the very fraternities and sororities created by the plantation slave masters. So black man, black woman, you have to ask yourself, why are our children so drawn to the very organizations by the very people that had our ancestors enslaved, that murdered them, that raped us, that hung us, lynched us, sodomized us, tortured us, kept us uneducated? Why do our children grow up and run straight to the people that abused their ancestors? You got to ask yourself these questions. It's because they are following an ancient code of order that is based off leadership, that is based off unity and togetherness. And if you don't have that in your family structure, I'm going to tell you right now, you will not be able to hold on to your children. I don't care how much you loved it. I don't care how well you fed it. Your children will always be vetted away from you. If you don't have a family structure that has a mission statement from day one, you can't wait till your child get 15 and then think up a mission statement. That child has to be born into your mission. That's why children having children is not a good idea. That's why raping your sons and daughters, molesting them, and turning them out and corrupting them at early ages is never a good idea. So what makes the elite, because everything I'm talking about, they already know, and they bring their children here to be leaders. They do not bring their children here to be sheepo. So you people who give birth to bring your children here to be sheeple, you will always be the slave class. See, the difference between the sheeple and the elite class is intelligence. Period. Okay? So I thank everyone for listening to the show. I could expound on this a little bit more, but I want to play something for y'all to listen to. So I'm going to be quiet, share the shows, but, yeah, just understand that it's easy to get along with people when you know their mission, their purpose. And it's not about being angry, about being mad. But like I was telling you, the fraternities and sororities, they are not here to do what the average black people think they should be doing. See, we think that black fraternities are here to help black people. They're not. We think black politicians are here to help all black people. They're not. We think, you know, we are just so deluded. And so I'm here to try to help the sheeple elevate their consciousness and understanding of the purposes of the people around them who tend to be around them for the purpose of getting them to support this. And because, see, most of the time, these organizations, they beg the poor for money all day, every day. Most of their funding resources come off the backs of the sheeple. So their ability to convince the sheeple that we are here to help you when they are really here to help themselves and their members. So who needs to smarten up? The sheeple do. The sheeple need to smarten up. You need to smarten up and learn how to keep your money in your pocket and not be sharing it with people who are not part of your tribe. Everybody should be trying to create their own tribe, and if the tribe you are donating to and supporting ain't breaking bread with you, ain't getting you out the ghetto, ain't getting you out of pocket, you know what? You have an investment that is gaining you nothing. There's nothing worse than a wasted investment. I get people trying to get me to invest all the time, but my coins are so few that I have to be very careful how I shell them out. And I say, you know what, if we ain't sitting at the table breaking bread together, if my children don't go to the school where your children go to school, if you don't live on my street, if I don't see you in the grocery store where I shop, I'm sorry, we are not of the same tribe. See, Jesus broke bread with the people that he ate and slept with every day, that he was on the same fishing boats with. And you go. We're going into overtime. Thank y'all for listening. So you have to realize you have to know who is of your tribe. Who is of your tribe is the people who you see every day, the people who you lay next to, the people you eat with, the people you pray with people you see at your children's school. But for some reason, the sheeple tend to not like other sheeple, and they want to be connected to the elite, and the elite realize this, so they smile in your face, they grin, they pat you on the back and tell you something positive and give you some positive, you know, Christian quote that makes you feel all warm and fuzzy, and then they hit you up and, would you, you know, can you want to buy my book? I've got a positive CD on how you can build your finances. Would you like to purchase it? And they sell you shit. Why? Because the name of the game with the elite is get that coin. That's why they're always having fundraisings. See, sheeple don't have fundraisings because you're the target. You're not intelligent enough to be able to put on a fundraising. The elite and their members, oh, they are taught the art of fundraising. Yeah, get that money. Got to get that coin. That's their mission. Because it's all about economics, and you can't have economics without money, okay? All right, thank you for listening, and we will go out with this. Your own document so you can... Hold up. All right, thank you, thank you. Happy New Year. If I may do a show tomorrow, but if not, Happy New Year to everyone. Happy 2018. Happy, prosperous, and productive.
He said, Europe, I'll use again. And in Europe, the Spaniards were black, the Italians were black, the French were black, Russians were black, and Swedes are generally of what we call a black complexion. So are the Germans also. Well, the Saxons only accepted with the English make the principal body of white people on the face of the earth. So as of 1751, all right, the Saxons and the English were primarily the white people in the world. Not like there weren't white people around, but they were like the main principal body of white folks around. Because as you can see here, all of those countries that I just mentioned, the Spaniards, the Italians, the French, Russians, and Swedes, mentioned by Benjamin Franklin, including the Germans, were all black folk. So now the question we now have to ask, now when you start thinking about this, right, you start wondering, okay, how did they all become white? Now, what I did notice while studying the history of Europe, like, is that these black people over there, right, during those ages before the 1751, were going through a lot of fighting. They were fighting over anything and everything, all right? But I could understand the reason what the reason for the fights was. But what I did notice was that every time they fought, all right, and somebody won, they accumulated more land. They accumulated more kingdoms or whatever. And so it was like an amalgamation of lands, all right, which leads us to the fact that all this fighting must have been instigated by someone. And who else do you think it is that would instigate all those fighting? To merge the world and make it into, like, you know, what's the right word? I'm trying to find the right word here. I'm missing my words. What's the right word? I've run out of words. The only right word I can find here is to aggregate, all right? So the more these black people fought, because the fight was based on two things only, like a religion and kingdoms. That's what it was. And so the more they fought, I found out that any person who won aggregated more land. So that leads me to know that the devil was all behind it, trying to put together the one world system, which he's always wanted, so that he can run the world before Yahushua comes back. That's the only thing that I can find that makes sense. So I read on. He said, so as you can see right here from Benjamin Franklin, the Saxons were white together with the English, but they weren't always white. They were white as at 1751. So let's keep reading. I could wish, this is what Benjamin Franklin now says, I could wish their numbers were increased. So he wished, this was the Vatican's plan, to increase the number of white people in the world. So when you see places like Australia, all right, Mexico, Brazil, and all those countries being white, it makes a lot of sense, which I'm going to show you, all right? turning American woods and so making this side of our globe reflect a brighter light to the eyes of the inhabitants in Mars or Venus. So they're trying to make the world more white. And have they succeeded? Yes. Let's keep on reading. Why should we, in the sight of superior beings, darken its people? Like I've always said, the natural color of man is black. It's not white. And I'll show you from where the white thing came up to be. So he said, why increase the sons of Africa? That means why increase blackness by planting them in America, where we have a fair and opportunity by excluding all blacks and tawnies. Wow. So they wanted to exclude all the Spaniards who were black, Italians, French, Russians, and Swedes, and Germans. Right? He said, by excluding all blacks and tawnies, of including the lovely white and red, or perhaps impartial to the complexion of my country, for such a partiality is natural to mankind. So, as you can see now, the world, even at 1761, was still primarily black people, as Benjamin Franklin said. And let's start to see how he started to turn white, okay? So I start with the history of Mexico. Now remember, according to Benjamin Franklin, in 1751, the world was still primarily made of black people, okay? Black as in the sons of Africa, or the so-called Africans, as they say today. Now, if you notice, I'm reading the history of Mexico from the Wikipedia page, and as usual, you must always read with some sense. Don't just leave everything and think about it. It makes logical sense. It says here, pre-Columbian Mexico was home to many advanced Mesoamerican civilizations. That means they were all black people, such as the Olmec, Toltec, Teotihuacan, Zapotec, Maya, and Aztec before the first contact with Europeans. Now, here's one thing I want you guys to know about the so-called slave trade. Now, when you hear that Europeans said that they discovered all nations in the world and that they shipped a lot of slaves and the transatlantic slave trade, that is a cover story, because you have to understand the transatlantic or the slave trade in general was not what the white supremacists or white Vatican today makes it to be. You have to understand, prior to 1751, like I've told you before this, there were a lot of wars in Europe. If you go read the history of Europe, you'll find there were so many wars because these black people over there were just fighting over themselves left, right, and center, over religion and everything else, the Protestant Reformation and all that kind of stuff. Now, the fighting led to a very unstable Europe. So a lot of people who lived in Europe were tired of fighting. So what happened was those blacks started moving out of Europe on ships across many other continents. So a lot of these voyages that you see, that they say that are Atlantic, you know, or slave trade ships, were actually voyages running away from the instability in Europe caused by war, all right, and fighting, trying to find new lands. So these black people sailed all around the world to the Americas. They were in the Americas before Columbus came, all right? They sailed all the way to Africa. Because you have to understand that if Africa is totally black, a white person coming to Africa and trying to colonize a black nation would be very, very impossible, because they're not going to see him as one of theirs. So the people who touched base in Africa were black people who found all this new land from Australia down to the Americas, all fleeing from Europe. So those voyages were actually Atlantic slave ships. There were a few of them, but not that much. So let's keep on reading so you can actually see that after Benjamin Franklin had said this, that white people, or let's say the Vatican, which was now white, primarily white at that time, started, because if you notice in Benjamin Franklin's story here, let me just pull that up again so you can actually see what I'm saying. So as you can see right here, it mentions that the Italians, all right, were still black. So that means the Vatican at that point in time was still primarily a black, right, Vatican. But like I've always said before, it doesn't matter if the Vatican is white, black, or anything. It is run by the devil. And since they run the world will still continually be run by the devil until Yahusha comes back. So that doesn't really matter. So let's go back to the story now of to see when things started changing. So remember the year that Benjamin Franklin said that the whole nation, the whole world probably is black, was 1751. So we read here, Colombia, pre-Colombia, Mexico was home to many advanced Mesoamerican civilizations such as the Olmec, Toltec, and Topican, and Zapotec, Maya, and Aztec before the first contact with Europeans. In 1521, the Spanish Empire conquered and colonized the territory from its base in Mexico, Tenochtitlan. Sorry if I'm messing that up. Which was administered as the viceroyalty of New Spain. Now, it says 3 centuries later. That means, remember, when people say something, the best way to put it is that when the people who run the world now, the Vatican, try to say something, because you have to understand that Benjamin Franklin was a high degree Freemason, right? That means he was connected to the Black Vatican at that point. But since they were white now and they're trying to take a hold of the leading order, all right, they have to write this statement in such a cunning way such that the Black Vatican at that point in time wouldn't know that this is what they were actually saying. So I'm going to read that to you so you can understand before I go further, all right? So Benjamin Franklin here said that he wished he could increase the numbers of white people. It was a wish. That means when Europe was in amidst its fighting and black people were fleeing from Europe, all right, because of the fighting that was happening in Europe all the way down to Russia, right, the white people down there were looking at an advantage of taking over, all right, taking over. So here now he's just saying it's a wish because he doesn't know if he gets caught by the majority black population wishing that he could make things more wider, he would be in problem. So let's continue reading. He said, you can also see, he said, of increasing the lovely white and red. So when we go back to the story now of Mexico, you can see that Mexico, 3 centuries, which almost falls into the time of 1751, that Benjamin Franklin was talking about, right? He said, 3 centuries later, this territory became Mexico, following the recognition in 1821 after the colonist-Mexican War of Independence, all right? The tumultuous post-independence was characterized by economic instability and many political changes. So what political changes do you think happened? The whites were killing the blacks, all right? Killing the blacks, the indigenous aboriginal people, making them slaves that like they did in the United States of America and America as a whole, and they tell you that they came from Africa when they were not. They were really black people here. That's what they were busy doing. Killing the males and taking the women, raping them, as the case may be, and planting with them white seed.
This is how the white people increase their numbers. Listen. Where do white people come from? Listen.
Brazil was inhabited by numerous tribal nations prior to the landing.
These are your albinos, your leopards.
Almost the same time as
the leper king.
Here too. So
or the leper Khan.
Cabral, who claimed the area for
pay
the
attention.
Portuguese Empire. Brazil remained a Portuguese colony until 1808. Alright? So that means Brazil was primarily still black until that time, because from 1751 to 1808, it's roughly about 59 years. So 59 years after the wishes of the white people who had started taking over, right, the control structures, the power structures of Europe,